Okay, good morning everyone. Welcome to our talk about the inaugural Down Under Nose Work Camp. I'll start just by saying a huge thank you to Marion and all the instructors coming over from America. I think this is such an amazing, awesome opportunity. I'm so excited. And Jen is coming to talk to us today. Jen is head of the logistics. So she's doing all the hard work behind the scenes and in front of the scenes. So she's coming to tell us all about maybe some of the question and answer any questions, but tell us all about camp and what we can expect. So Jen, I'll sort of hand it over to you.
Okay. Thanks, Licia. And some of the information I may give you today, you may already know, you may not know. If there's something that I don't give you, please ask questions, because if you don't know, someone else doesn't know. And because I know it all, I will forget to tell you things that I think. So don't hesitate to ask questions. I guess I'll probably start with where. So you all know it's at Riverwood Downs. You all know that's in the Monkeray Valley, which is between Stroud and Gloucester, which is up towards Newcastle. So if you haven't been there before, it is mostly bitumen road until you get just about to the camp and the road. The dirt road doesn't go for very far, but you will have to travel on a dirt road. You can drive on it in a normal car. You don't need a four-wheel drive, but you will cross cattle grates and you will come down into the property. So just so you know, you will be driving on dirt road. First day of camp is the Thursday. Arrival is between 2:30 and 3:30, and you can come in and check in with us just close to reception. Licia will put a map up shortly. There'll be a number of us there signing you in. We'll also be giving out any clothes that you've ordered and goodie bags to people. We will also have an orientation on the Thursday, a welcome barbecue. It's bring your own food. You can cook on the barbecue. You can heat your food up in the microwave. You can do whatever you see necessary for that night, and it will be informal. You can meet the instructors. You can talk to them. Prior to that, they will do a meet and greet with you guys, and they will give you a little bit of an update. That'll be Jill and Amy that afternoon at about 4:30 on what's happening in America, what's changed and what's new with ACSW, NACSW. What else can I tell you about that? So they'll be around. We'll also do an orientation that afternoon, and I'll sort of walk you around the site. Licia's put a picture up. While it looks big, and it is 750 acres, the areas that we'll be working in are within close proximity to where you'll be staying. So the biggest distance you may have to walk will be 5 minutes from, you know, your cabin to the area that you're working in. I will explain the working areas once I get to that. When you arrive, you'll also have to check in with Riverwood Downs. So once you've checked in, you can take your car down and park it next to your accommodation, wherever that may be, and they'll tell you where to park. So if you park your cars next to your accommodation, if you're in one of the park cabins, there's parking right next to the accommodation. Off the top of my head, I can't actually remember the boutique rooms. I think you park at the back of the rooms, but I'm not 100% sure. Riverwood will give you that information. There's shops. There is a cafe on site, and there also is a restaurant which advised you all of. The cafe is open every day, and it sells basic stuff, you know, hot chips, sausage rolls, pies, chips. They don't have a huge amount of stuff available, but they do have things available. There's also the restaurant where you can book, and I've put the meals and the prices and everything up on the Facebook page. You need to book by the 4th of June if you want any of those meals either at the restaurant. So No, it's not open at nights, Luan. The cafe is only open, I think it's 8 till 5, but I'll have to double check that. So no, it's not open for lazy people at night, as per your question. So Friday morning is the day that we'll start working the dogs, and I've posted the groups. What you'll need, that those working groups will start at 8 a.m. each morning, and if you can be there and be set up prior to 8 o'clock, so I suggest, you know, you get to your area probably 10 minutes before that, have you toileted and ready to go. Yes, Licia?
I have a little question about sort of the setup at each area. I'm assuming it will be different depending on the venue, but can you tell us a little bit about how the dogs will be set up in relation to search areas?
So they will be set up probably, so for example, one of the search areas, I don't know if you can see the sign that says boutique rooms. One of the search areas will be in that brown area that you see there, which is outside of the boutique rooms. Now, that will probably be a container search area, and this won't be 100% accurate until the instructors come and we do a walkthrough and they are happy with the areas. So at the moment we've taken Jill and Jill's walked through, and these are some of the suggestions that she made that we're working with. So that area there would be say container area 1. So that would be where you would go if you were in the group that had a container search that morning. Underneath this, these boutique rooms, so the building is a area that's probably, you know, several metres deep, and the proposal was that the crates could go under there. And you would only have to get your dog out of the crate straight to that working area there. So they would be in view of the working area. It won't be like classes that you go to where your dog's in your car or outside. The other suggestion is that in this central area where you see the sign with the spa cabins, and it's a big grass area, that we set up that area, which is why I asked for people to bring gazebos, and the crates are situated there. But the crates that are situated there will be situated for all groups in this area. So the container search would be next to the boutique rooms. Down at Platypus Point or over to that area there would be an exterior search. The interior search would be where you see the sign that says the Barrington Bar and Grill. There is a meeting room. That would be the interior search. And the vehicle search will be somewhere in this center area here. So the other option, as I said, is we set up, you know, 6 or 8 gazebos there. All the crates go there under the gazebos for the whole day. And the people that are in area 1 containers, area 1 vehicles, area 1 exterior and area 1 interior all work from that area. Now, whilst it looks massive, it's probably a minute walk back and forth to get your dog in and out of the crates. The second area is down near the bunkhouse that you can see. And the proposal down there is that we will work containers at the backside of that bunkhouse. The interior search will be inside the bunkhouse. Now, that means anybody staying in the bunkhouse while we're running the classes, we ask that they don't come in and out of their rooms, that they allow us to use that as a search area. That bunkhouse has showers and toilets, and they may use those areas which are at the back as an interior search as well. They may also use this area a little bit further up where you see the sign park cabins. There's a little roof there. That is a shower and toilet block, has a laundry and a number of other things in it. So that could be a search area as well. Our vehicle search will probably be near the riverside camp area, or off this map further down is more grass paddocks where we can put a vehicle search. So possibly containers on the outside, interiors on the inside, exteriors probably outside here, or anywhere around that area on the other side of the bunkhouse, and vehicles close by. The idea down there is the same to set up. Hang on, Lisa, I'll just finish this and then I'll answer. The idea there is to set up gazebos, and people who are in that area for the day can work from those gazebos. Yes, Lisa.
So that if the dogs are all sort of set up in that field area just mm-hmm. near the spa cabins, so they'll be in sort of a close proximity to each other, are there some guidelines about dogs interacting and all the rest of it that will be either for the whole of camp or just while the dogs are working?
No, for the whole of camp, there was a dog policy sent out, but just so that everybody's aware, dogs must be kept on lead at all times while you're at camp. Your dog is your responsibility and nobody else's. There's no dog play or interaction at the camp, whether you know someone else's, you know they're friendly, you walk with them every day, you're at camp. It's ACSW and NACSW, so there is no dog interaction. Look, if you're staying in a room and the dogs are together and the dogs are fine, that's your business. But while you're out and about on this in this camp area, all dogs need to be on lead. You need to be respectful of everybody else. We'll have some yellow ribbons there. So if there are dogs that need space, please make sure when you're getting your dog in and out of a crate that you give that dog space, you have the dog maybe situated at the end of the gazebos, you know. Dogs that are highly reactive shouldn't be here. We've already put that post up several times and we've already sent it out. So, you know, if you've got a dog that is super reactive, you shouldn't have brought it. But basically what we're expecting is that you take responsibility for your own dog, that you keep it on lead and there is no interaction.
Awesome.
So,
okay. Amenities for the different sets of accommodation, okay, or is that something we'll find out when we get there?
No, I can tell you because I've been up here. So, you know, most of the accommodation has its own amenities. So, if you're staying anywhere on this site, there are thousand toilets in your rooms. There are cooking facilities in the park cabins. There are no cooking facilities in the boutique rooms. There may be a toilet, I'm not 100% sure. The bunkhouse and the camping, down in that bunkhouse, there is a camp kitchen. Now, someone asked me yesterday, and you'll have to check with Riverwood. I have been in there. There's a fridge. There's a stove. There's also a barbecue area. There is, I think, they have utensils, a toaster, a jug, basic stuff. But if you want more details about that, you will have to check with Riverwood because accommodation was everybody's responsibility themselves. As I said, in the park cabins, everything is there. It's not large. You only have a small fridge. In the spa cabins, the same. I believe you have cooking facilities, but I'm not 100% sure. The cottages are all taken by instructors, so, yeah, they don't. The bunkhouse also has an inside set of showers and toilets that you can use. There's also showers and toilets here in this facility next to the back of the park cabins, which is right within walking distance from the bunkhouse. And up near the wool shed, there's also another area that has bathrooms and toilets, no shower facilities. Does that answer that? Is there any, I can't see any questions because they're not on my screen. Lacia?
I don't see any other questions on that. I do have a question about if some dogs are better in the car rather than a crate, are people able to take their car to that area? Okay, excellent.
So the plan was that people bring crates and work out of their crates and supply a crate cover, and that was all in the information that was sent out when we first sent it out. A lot of these areas do not have areas for you to park, and a lot of the areas where you possibly could park will be areas that we're working. So, for example, down at the bunkhouse, you can see that grassed area where the little L is. That would be an area where normally you could park. That is an exterior search area. There's a veranda there and we may be using it, so you won't be able to park there. There are some people that asked for special dispensation for their car due to the size of their dog or due to, you know, certain things. I've got only possibly two, maybe three people that have spoken to me about that. and we will facilitate them parking. But in saying that, they may have to walk further than you do, because there's areas where they won't be able to park their car right next to a search. So they will have to park it a distance away and they will have to walk.
Okay, excellent. Thanks for that. If there was any other questions about meals, you can pop that in the comments.
Just to answer Jen Hassel's question, are we the only people there? I do believe so, Jen, because we've booked the whole place out. That doesn't mean that there's not maybe a caravan or two that people, you know, I don't know if anyone stays there permanently. But other than that, we've booked it out. So there should be only us there.
Very good. So back to meals, we'll just go over that briefly. Breakfast, I understand everyone is taking care of themselves.
That's correct.
But there will be that cafe open at 8 a.m. Having said that, the classes start at 8 a.m., don't they?
Classes start at 8 a.m. and we expect it to be set up 10 minutes before.
Okay.
In answer to your question, yes, you can bring a trolley with wheels. I have a trolley with wheels that I'll be using. Just make sure you've got a cover for it. And also, if you don't have a trolley on wheels, if you have a trolley to move your crate around, bring that, because it will be your responsibility to move your crate from area to area. The only time that'll be a large move will be on the third day, where I couldn't arrange. So what I've tried to do is arrange the groups. So four groups work in one area for the whole day and four groups work in the other area for the whole day. On the third day, you will have to move at lunchtime from area one to area two. And we do have a logistics team that's there to help you, but there's not a lot of us, so we can't do everything. And we ask that you look after and help each other as much as possible. Sorry, Lisa, go on about the meals.
Okay, so breakfast, definitely take care of yourself. Lunch, if people want to book the lunches or the dinners, they contact the camp directly.
Correct. They contact Riverwood Downs and they have to have booked that by the 4th of June.
4th of June, great. And otherwise, the Saturday night is the shared meal?
The Saturday night, there's a dinner and that'll be in the wool shed. So where you see it labelled wool shed, and that will be, that's already paid for by everyone. I've got most people's dietary requirements, which I will send back to Riverwood in the next couple of weeks, just to know who can eat what. They will cater for everybody. That dinner will also have a couple of talks from the Aussie guys, JP, Alex and Jason. They will also have a raffle. The raffle will go to any proceedings from the raffle will go to a dog charity that Marion will choose. We will also give out some prizes and awards on that night. So there'll be a few funny things to certain teams. So the groups that you're working in could win awards for certain things. It'll just be a sort of a fun night for everyone to join in, and that'll be on the Saturday night. And as I said, the Thursday night will be just a get together, meet and greet, a chat with everyone to see, to meet the instructors, talk to them and meet the rest of the people at the camp. But that will be bring your own. And that will be in, you can see it on here, where the wool shed is, there's sort of like a little U-shaped area, which you can see if Lisa moves her little fingers across a bit. Barrington Bar and Grill, inside that area there, there are two barbecues, an oven, a fridge, a whole heap of things, and an undercover area. It's not a large undercover area, but there is an undercover area there where we'll meet for, if you want a barbecue, you can, if you want to bring lasagna, if you want to bring stew, if you want to bring whatever you want to bring to eat, it's entirely up to you. That will be in that area there, and we've also put the wool shed, so it's too cold, you can go in there and sit and eat. That'll be the Thursday night, but that'll be an informal catch-up.
Okay. And is there anything on Sunday meal-wise? Sunday's the last day, isn't it?
No, there's nothing on Sunday, and some people will leave Sunday evening. Some people will still be there. I'm pretty sure the restaurant is still open on a Sunday night. I'm not 100% sure, but it's up to you guys. You can look after yourself or you can book the restaurant.
Okay. Kate has just asked, for the Saturday night, are the dogs back in cabins?
Up to you, Kate. You can put your dog in the cabin, you can put your dog in your car, but you can't bring your dog to the dinner.
Okay. Very good. So we've been over start time, 8 a.m. Are there sort of some buffer zones between changing over from instructors?
Yes. So in the morning, you'll start at 8 and you'll work till probably 9:30, and then there'll be 15 minutes of questions if it goes for 15 minutes, if it doesn't. So 8 till 9:45, you'll be with the first instructor. And then there will be a break for morning tea, and that will be in half an hour break. Now, if we set up the gazebos, you shouldn't have to move your dogs anywhere. If we don't set up the gazebos, you'll probably move your dogs from one area. So say you're at the side, at the back of the bunkhouse, you might move them around to the other side of the bunkhouse, which is like, it's a minute's walk, if that. Morning tea will be up near the Barrington Bar and Grill, the same place where we have the barbecue. And that'll be a half hour break. And we expect you sort of to be back in 5 minutes before you start the next group. And the next group will go from 10:15 till 11:45. And then from 12 to 1, you will have a break to have lunch, get yourselves toileted, whatever you need to do. Come back and start again at 1 o'clock. And you will work from 1 to 2:45. Now, the next break in the afternoon is really tight, and this may change depending on the instructors, the Americans. There's only 15 minutes between moving from one group to another. Now, in that time, instructors also have to set up for you, and 15 minutes may not be long enough. So if it's not long enough, we'll stretch that to half an hour. We'll see how we go on the first day, and if we can make it work, we will. We'll stretch that to half an hour, and it means your next group won't start until 3:15, but you'll still only go to 4:30. So you'll get an hour and 15 minutes. It just may mean your question time will be cut short in that last group, but we'll do our best to get everything set up and get you ready to start at 2:45. But just bear in mind, that is a really, really tight turnaround, and especially for instructors setting up containers and things, they've got to pick up from the last class and put down for the new class. So, you know, it just might not be feasible, but we'll let you know once there and we try it out on the first day.
Okay, so Friday night is sort of people's own time. Is that
Friday
correct?
Night, you can do whatever you like. Get together as a group. There are some places on site. So down near this platypus point that you can see over on the left-hand side, I think, on your screen.
I can move this thing, yeah.
There is a fire pit down there and a big area where you can sit, have a fire, talk, do what you like. So yeah, it's entirely up to you guys what you do.
Awesome. Okay, and for auditors, people that are auditing the groups, I'm assuming that they will have the option. I noticed you said somewhere they'll have the option to go to whichever sort of group they want, but is there a maximum sort of, if everyone wants to go to the same group, are we going to try and manage that a little bit?
So at this point in time, the instructors have advised that auditors can go wherever they want and watch whatever they want. If the groups get too large, so if I've got 40 people all wanting to go and watch Amy, then we'll have to put a sheet out that says you need to sign up for the group that you want to go and watch. Bear in mind, they will be instructing different things at different times each day, so it's not that you won't have an opportunity to see them, you will. It's just better if you split yourselves up and go and see who you want. you know, within reasonable numbers. But if it gets too many, there won't be enough space for you to all stand there and see anyway, to be honest. If you were watching Amy down the side of that bunkhouse and you're all standing at the end here, there's not a lot that you would see if there was 40 people there. So okay. It would be to your own detriment to do that sort of thing. The other thing, if you're an auditor, bring a chair, even if it's one of those small little fold-out chairs that sort of fold up into a triangle. You know, they're like fishing chairs. Instead of one of the big camp chairs, it'll be easier for you to carry around and easier for you to sit down, stand up, do what you need to do to see. But, yeah, awesome. If the groups do get too big, we will make you sign in each morning as an auditor as to the group that you're going to, and we may restrict it to, you know, 10 per group. First 10 in get to go and see that instructor. And if you're going to the same instructor all the time, then we may limit that and go, no, you've been 5 times. You need to move on and give someone else a go.
Okay. And that follow on from Lisa's question, with people without dogs, will they be moving from zone to zone, or once they're at a zone, they stay there?
People without dogs, all we ask is that you, if you do go to a session, you stay in that session for the hour and 45 minutes. After that, you can go wherever you like. To move from one zone to another is like literally probably a 5-minute walk, if that. It looks big, and this place is massive, but the area where the accommodation and stuff is not massive. So to walk from one end to the other is probably a 5-minute walk. So absolutely, you can go wherever you want and watch whoever you want, whenever you want, unless, like I say, we end up with an overcrowd.
Okay. And personal photography and video.
So videos and photography are a no-go whilst the classes are running. And this was sent out as well. There'll be two photographers there. There'll be Licia, who's running this at the moment, and there'll also be Sue Town. And they will take photos whilst the classes are running. Outside of that, you can take photos of anything you want, and you can post them wherever you want. For the instructors, it's just a courtesy thing that you don't video or take photos of their classes. And if you do, you'll be asked to delete it, and you'll be asked to not sit in on that class.
And that goes for people videoing or recording their own dogs running as well?
Yes.
Okay, that answers Narilla's question. Okay, excellent. And vehicles, did you have something?
If anybody would like to volunteer their car so that we can use it in a vehicle search, that would be greatly appreciated. Stop, because between the logistics team and people flying in, we don't have enough cars to supply for the vehicle searches. We will do our best, but if anybody's got a car and they're happy to allow us to use it, that would be fantastic.
Okay, and I think we're just about there. The CNWICUs.
CNWIs will, when you register, we will ask you for your CNWI number, and that'll be recorded, and we'll pass that on to Jill and Amy, and you will receive 10 CUs for attending the camp. So just remember, bring your number.
Okay, CUs. And Cass and Tom have are donating their car.
Thank you. the other thing I just thought of was, I did put in the handout, and in case anybody needs it or you need to know this, and I did put it on the website, the vet and the shops are approximately 45 minutes away from Riverwood Downs. There is only one vet, and it's in Dungog, and I've basically put that information on the handout, and I've put the information on the shops surrounding if anybody needs to go to the shops. But if you can try to remember to bring everything, you shouldn't have to go to the shops. And as far as what you need to bring, You need joggers. You need the clothes that you would wear every day when working a dog, but you also need warm gear and you also need wet weather gear. You need wet weather shoes, gum boots, anything like that. You may also need possibly a coat for your dog if your dog's a short-coated dog, or a waterproof coat for your dog if your dog's a long-coated dog and is going to get wet and you don't want it to get wet, you want to keep it dry. That's the reason for the crate cover, and some comfy bedding, maybe even a towel if you have the rain, to dry your dog off. But please be aware there is a very, very real possibility that it will rain at Riverwood Downs while we're there, because June is the wettest month and it's also one of their coldest months. So the temperature will be between 9 and 16 degrees. Having said that, when I checked the temperature the other day, it was 7 degrees in the morning. So, you know, it will vary. Most of the rooms, I would say all of the rooms, even the bunkhouse, have air conditioning. So you will be able to heat the room and keep yourself warm. So please, if you're working outside, make sure you've got warm clothes and your dog's comfortable, dry, and out of the elements if you've got a crate cover. Photos, videos, I think I've covered pretty much.
Becky just asked if there will be a list of subjects covered at the start of camp so the auditors can sort of plan ahead where they're going to go. Or is it just the elements?
It's just the elements. And I'm assuming that depending on where you go and what you watch. So if you're watching Nosework 3, then you'll be seeing elevated hides. You'll be seeing inaccessible. If you go to Nosework 1 and you're watching the Nosework 1 level, some of the dogs that are coming are on birch and birch only. So you'll see basic searches. It'll depend what those instructors want to teach. What I have asked the instructors to do, whilst they haven't provided lesson plans, is to provide, and it will be in your bag when you arrive, an idea of a training, a skill or a drill that you could do at home. So each of the instructors will provide you with a drill that you can take away and you can work on at home at your own leisure, and they will put what level it's at and how you modify it from level to level. The other thing that will be in your bag is a survey of the actual place and the camp and what you thought of it. This is our first time, so hey, we're open to criticism. We're open to suggestions. We're open to making things better. If anyone's got any ideas, throw them at us, because this is the first time we've done it and we want to make it better. So absolutely give us your suggestions, anything you can think of to make it better. So there's a survey for that. There's also an instructor survey, what you liked, what you didn't like, whether you can rank the instructors from 1 to 5, 5 being fabulous, 1 being terrible. For each of the instructors, so we know who to bring back, who not to bring back, how we can provide them with constructive feedback to maybe do it better next time, all that sort of thing. So there are a couple of other things. The other thing I had written down was the ground at Riverwood Downs is not flat, even, rolling, grassy areas. You will have to walk on uneven surfaces. You will have to walk on grass. You will have to walk up steps. You won't have to walk over cattle grids, because once you drive in, that's the last cattle grid, unless you decided to take your dog for a walk at 4:30 in the afternoon up over the cattle grids and down past the lily ponds and all that sort of thing. But in the main area, there's probably no cattle grids that you'll have to cross. But the ground is not stable ground. It is uneven and it is grassed and there are steps. So please make sure you bring suitable footwear to be able to walk around in those sorts of areas. As I said before, work together, help each other out. If somebody's struggling to move a crate, help them. you know, the quicker we get things done, the quicker we can, you know, get onto the next group and the next lot of training. We will have, as I said, people around that can help you out with moving your crates or, you know, helping you get stuck. But there's only 8 of us and there's 40 of you. So, you know, we can't do everything.
Rope in some auditors.
Yes. I think I've probably covered everything that I can think of.
Yeah, I think that's everything on my list. Is there any questions? You're welcome to take yourself off mute if you have any questions. How's the mobile reception out there?
I did have that written down and I've skipped it all together. The mobile reception is absolutely crap. There are probably 2 areas that you can make phone calls. One will be up where you see the map as you drive in up past reception. There is maybe you can get 2 bars, and if you're talking to someone, it could drop out. Also, right down the back past the bunkhouse near the Parkland Cabins, Parkland Camping, there is a little bit of reception there. No, Jen Hassel, nothing's changed. Reception is really, really poor, and there is no phone there, so you can't just go into the little red phone box and ring up. You've only got your mobile, and, yep, it's poor. So heads up. And depending who you're with, Telstra has probably the best reception. If you're with Vodafone or Optus, you probably have no reception whatsoever.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, sometimes it does work standing on one leg.
Okay. Any other questions? I'm sure we'll think of them all soon.
Oh, instructors will rotate the same as you will. So probably only see an instructor once, and if you're lucky, twice. Everybody will see every instructor at least once, because there are 8 instructors, and over 2 days you'll see one of the instructors at one of your lessons. And then on the second day, it's basically a jackpot as to who I gave you on that last day. But hopefully in the first 2 days or over the course of the camp, you will see all of the instructors at least once. So they will rotate just the same as you will.
Awesome.
Well, and just one thing to all the campers, if you can be respectful of the instructors and please don't tie them up with questions. Everybody wants to know how they can better train their own dog and better do things with their own dog. The instructors have 30 minutes between each session to pack up and set up a new class. So if possible, have a little bit of respect for them and let them move on to their next group, because they are time poor and they don't have a lot of time between each class to set up. You want to talk to them at lunch, talk to them in the evening, but please during the day let them move from one area to another to get their setups done to give you the best opportunity to participate in the next class.
Awesome. Someone's asked how many auditors there are.
There's about 45 auditors, 45, 46.
Okay.
There's overall about 110 people, including the logistics team.
Excellent.
Oh, yay, Susie, for your first aid bag. We do have 2 first aiders. We have Donna and we have Susie, who will both be on site. And Donna has done dog first aid as well as human first aid. And yes, Luan, Wi-Fi is crap too.
Going to the country. Well, I'll pack my marshmallows. Do we have any other questions? Oh, yeah, vet nurse.
Oh, and Britt's a vet nurse, if anyone needs to know. Thanks, Jen Hassel. As I said at the beginning, if anyone's got any questions, please Facebook page, because if you're concerned or you don't know the answer, then there'll be someone else out there that also has the same question and also doesn't know the answer.
Awesome. Okay, well, if there's no other questions, huge thank you, Jen, for taking the time to give us all this really good information about camp. I am super excited, and I'm sure everybody else is as well. Can't wait. And yeah, like Jen says, the Facebook group, hit her up there for any other questions. Any final comments, Jen?
No, thanks to everyone for joining us today, and thanks for coming to our camp. We hope it's a success. We've put a lot of planning and work into it. And as I said, any feedback, I'll be at camp. I'm the camp coordinator. I'll be in red. I'll have a shirt, have a red jacket. If there's anything at camp that you need or a question you want to ask or something that, you know, is bugging you, irritating you, or you just want to come meet us and say thanks, you'll see me there. I'll be in red and I'll be walking around. Also, for auditors, some of you will put your name down to work dogs. We have two dogs available. Marion's Bravo. Bravo's passed. Marion's Moose, and we also have Strider. Those dogs will be working with auditors in the groups that they're in. They won't be working with myself and Marion. If any other auditors, perhaps on the call or who listen to this video, are there and decide that they would like to have a go with a certain instructor with one of the dogs, by all means, come and see us. And if we can accommodate, we will, because the dogs aren't fully utilised the whole time they're there. So there's a couple of gaps. So happy to, you know, accommodate wherever possible if someone wants to work a dog. But I'll be there. Marion will be there. We'll be there all weekend to help you with anything you need or any questions you have. Don't forget your dog treats. You're responsible for them, or a toy, however your dog works, if it's toy reward or treat reward. And you've got 4 classes a day, 3 days, so make sure you bring enough treats.
I'll have a few extras, treats and stuff as well.
And that was the final thing we forgot to say. There will be a stall there that Lisa is setting up. And she will have leads, treats, some... You can talk, Lisa. You're better. You know what you bring.
I'll have a few things, just even poo bags and all the rest of it there. Just, you know, some emergencies for dogs plus some fun things, you know, some nose work related things as well, some tug toys. I think that's about it. Just, it'll be very small, but, you know, just in case of emergency and some fun stuff.
And if you come to camp and you've forgotten something, I'm sure there's somebody there that will have it or can lend it to you or can, you know, work it out for you while you're there.
Name tags maybe on the first night. I don't think they'd last very long after that.
We have name tags on lanyards, and they're in a plastic cover for everyone. So awesome. They'll be in the bag when you check in, and there'll also be a tag. If you need to, this is another thing I haven't said. If you need to store your crate somewhere because you have space, A, in your camper van, in your tent, whatever it is, we have booked a room. So up near the Barrington Bar and Grill, there is a room that we will use as a interior search. That room we have booked for 4 days of the camp. So if you need to store a crate in there, you're more than welcome to. If someone's off site and we do have enough space, we will put your chair in there. We have some tags which I'll be bringing to camp, which we can put your name on and tag your crate or tag your chair, whatever you need. Just bear in mind it's only room, you know, 40 people's crates take up a fair bit of space. So wherever you can and wherever possible, please take your crates with you back to your room or in your car. But if you need to, it's there and it's available. So we're more than happy to tag your crate and put it in there. just ask us for a tag when you register.
Fantastic.
I don't think there's anything else that I can think of.
I think we've done pretty well and covering all of that. So I'm going to, obviously this is recorded, I will.
Sorry, Lacia, there is one more thing.
go ahead.
If people haven't ordered camp clothing and they want to, or they get to camp and they go, I really love this shirt, I want another one, or I want another two, or I want another jacket, I will have a list available where you can put your name and you can put down what you want to order. Money will have to be paid, obviously, before it's ordered. But if I get enough people so you don't miss out, I'm more than happy to place an order after camp. And that's probably all I have to say now, Alicia.
All right. Well, I'll post all the links to this recording if anyone missed the beginning, or if anyone wants to watch the replay, and I'll post that probably later on today. So otherwise, thank you again, Jen, and thank you for everyone for joining us, and have a lovely day.